Welcome to the Post Round 10 Your Supercoach Coach podcast. My name is Mark, aka FB Donkey, and I'm here with Faz and Marcus. Say good day, boys.
Hey, everyone.
How's it going?
Today, we'll be looking at letdowns of the week, superstars, bargains, and rookies. We'll also take a look at some of the hot topics this week, like Ryan O'Keefe and Jonathan Brown, Buddy's suspension, Robbie Gray, and the top seven backs for the year. This week, I scored 22.86, which saw me jump up over 1,000 places to 4,014th. Most importantly, that puts me about 1,000 places ahead of Marcus.
Damn it.
I'm running low on trades, but I have a pretty good-looking team right now, and I think it's got the potential to improve considerably. How'd you go, Faz?
Yeah, I scored 22.24, so a bit behind you, Mark, but still ahead of Marcus, so that's the main thing. Dropping off a fair bit behind you both in the rankings. I won't say what I am. It's a bit too embarrassing.
I scored 21.71. Absolutely horrid. Did a trade that actually put me 104 points down, but I have to do it in looking forward in with my team. Got bringing in four more premiums in the next 3 weeks, so hope to get a jump on the pack pretty soon. We'll get into our segments now. Why don't we start off with the rookies. Mark?
First rookie that I was thinking of was Daniel Hughes. He hasn't played for a few weeks, but he is still on the bubble for Melbourne. I'm hoping that he does get some game time soon. There's not many forward rookies available at the moment, so if you're looking for one that might get some games, perhaps he's your guy. He looked pretty good when he was playing.
I'm going to talk about Gisberts, who debuted on the weekend against Geelong. He was pick number 11 in last year's draft, and he's actually reasonably well-built. He's 82 kilos for 189-centimetre frame. He's got poor disposal efficiency as a junior, and we saw that against Geelong on the weekend. He got 26 touches against Geelong, but it wasn't particularly damaging with them. The reason for that is he's mainly an inside player, contested possession player. He averaged three clearances a game as a junior, and he had four against Geelong on the weekend, and he runs above 40% contested possession. So that's a really high percentage. That's higher than Brett Kirk, in fact, who's one of the most well-known inside players. And he did, in fact, hit 40% contested possession rate against Geelong, so he can get his own ball. He averages a goal a game as a junior as well, which is nice to see. And surprisingly for an inside player, four inside 50, that's quite a lot. He averaged that as a junior. So quite a good pick. He costs about 129,000, I think, but it's probably the last good midfield rookie option available. So look at him. He's going to be on the bubble next week and looks pretty good for running the season home, I think.
Yeah, my rookie this week is Campbell Heath from Sydney. He hasn't really lit the world on fire with his first two games, scoring a 58 and a 32, but he was showing good form down in Canberra with the Sydney reserves before he got picked, so I'm expecting him to turn that form around at some stage. Just as Gary Rowan did a few weeks ago, he had pretty rubbish scores before he was on the bubble, then now he's really lit it up since then. And as Marcus was saying, Gisberts looks like being one of the last options in the midfield. I'd say Heath is probably going to be one of the last ones in the back line.
Now we move on to our superstar segment. Mark, why don't you start us off?
I'm going to go with Joel Selwood. I brought him in when he was at his lowest about 3 or 4 weeks ago, and he had one quiet game against Collingwood, but the other three games have been really good. On the weekend, he scored 134. His price has gone up considerably since I brought him. Hopefully, he can just keep up the form that he's showing. He's a gun player in a gun side. And I think that even at 550,000, he still presents some value, although there might be better picks around.
Yeah, his handball count was, again, a bit worrying, but just gets so much of it that you're right, he's an absolute star. Mine is another player from Geelong, and he's a first-year rookie. Can you believe that? And that's James Podziadli. He's lit the world on absolute fire. He's had 156 and 144 in his last three games, and that's giving him a three-round average of 127. It's unbelievable for a first-year rookie. I guess he is 28, so it's not exactly like he's an 18-year-old kid. He gets lots of Supercoach points from the amount of marks he gets. He's averaging 8 over the last 6 games, so that's heaps. And 3 of those are Supercoach Rich contested marks. And the absolute star, as I said, 5 goal bags in the last 4 games, only 13 goals behind the Coleman leader in Pavlich. So let's go Pods for the Coleman.
I think if Geelong played every one of their games at Skills Stadium, then he'd probably be the All-Australian full forward, hands down, and the Coleman medal winner.
Yeah, now my superstar for this week is Bryce Gibbs. He had an absolutely amazing game on the weekend, 45 touches off the half flank, giving him 192 points. His scoring's been pretty solid so far this year. This is just his first massive game. He's had a 122, but apart from that, they've all been around the 100 mark. I think he had a ridiculous amount of tackles as well. And yeah, if he can keep playing that halfback role, just racking up the touches, he'd be a great player to have on your side. He's still got a bit of value in him at about 550,000, a very low break even as you'd expect at 52. So if you think Bryce Gibbs is going to keep going with these big scores, definitely jump on him now.
We'll move on to looking at the letdowns now. Mine's Heath Shaw. I've been pumping his tyres for the last month or so, and he's been producing horrible scores in the last three rounds, 60, 72, and 64. So he's averaging actually just 71 from the four games this year in which he's copped the tag, and 113 from the five games he hasn't. That's a ludicrous difference, but his upside is so high, he's worth considering to pick up, especially at his current price, 426, but he still has a break-even of 128, so he's going to get even cheaper. He'll be around 410 for the next couple of weeks, and I reckon definitely worth a punt at that price. He's still averaging 94 for the year, so even though he has those low games, his upside always brings his average up. And he was a strong finisher last year, averaged 34% more in the second half of the year last year. That's a massive difference. If he can do that again this year, then he'll be an absolutely brilliant buy at 410. But for now, he's an absolute letdown.
Yeah, my letdown's a player that we've been mentioning quite a bit before this year as well, and that's Heath Grundy. In the first six games of the year, he had four scores above 125, which is absolutely amazing, but since then he hasn't scored above 100, and last week was his low score of the season with the 59. He does have the MPP eligibility, which I know a lot of people are looking at him for, Marcus, your one, for example, and he's quite cheap at the moment, down at 450,000, and looking to drop further with a break-even of 142. So, and it's hard to see what he's going to do for the rest of the season. This is his breakout year, so we don't really have any previous form to go off. But yeah, the last 4 weeks have been sort of disappointing from Grundy, considering his start of the season.
My letdown for the week is Ryan O'Keefe, and I'm sure a lot of people out there would agree with this. He hasn't scored over 100 in 5 weeks, including the score two scores of 50 or less in the last 3 weeks. He just hasn't looked likely in the last few weeks. He doesn't seem all that likely to get the ball, and when he does, he's sort of butchering it. A few times on the weekend, when he finally did get it in his hands, he just seemed to bomb it out of the pack up forward, and it generally went to an opposition player. There was no precision to the kicking at all. Do you think we can excuse him for the last 5 weeks, given that he had concussion about 5 weeks ago? Can we blame it all on that?
I don't think that's a valid excuse, 5 weeks just from one concussion. But his form, as you've said, has been really poor from there. Look, his price is so low, but he's in such a bad vein of form at the moment that if you don't have him, I'd really wait before trading him in. But for those of us that do have him, I think we're just going to have to sit tight on Ryan O'Keefe because his potential is huge. You'd expect a player of his caliber to burn out some big scores. And is a big problem that he's had this year, which he hasn't so much in previous years, is his disposal efficiency seems to be a bit down. No, he hasn't always been the best user of the ball, but particularly this year in the last few games, we've just been very disappointed with his kicks, often resulting in turnovers in the last few weeks.
Sounds like they need a new kicking coach up at Sydney, because Adam Good's owners would notice that it's been the same with him. His field kicking has generally been pretty atrocious in recent weeks.
It's possibly a change in their team structure. Maybe the delivery into the forward line is harder to nail. Bradshaw has been out the last couple of weeks, so that could be it. So.
Yeah, not a main target to be going for.
My other letdown for the week is Lindsay Gilbey. He did score 73, so it's not horrible. But considering he kicked his first two goals of the year, and it was the first week that I had him in my team, I was pretty disappointed, and I was hoping to see a lot more. The saving grace was that it was against Essendon, and the Bombers won, so it didn't hurt me too badly. I just hope he rises up again this week.
Yeah, I didn't really see much of him at all in the game. I was there, and yeah, could have been a late withdrawal, and I wouldn't have known.
All right, let's get on to the section which is pretty relevant to the people listening, and that's Bargain Watch, players that they're looking to pick up into their teams in the next few weeks. I'm going to start off with Eddie Betts. He started the season at about 420,000. He's had some really good games and some average games. He's not going to be a super premium forward. He probably won't even rise to over 500,000. He's a little bit inconsistent, but he is posting out some really good scores. He's winning the contested footy. If you're looking for a cheap forward that seems pretty durable, Eddie Betts would be a pretty good pick in my view.
I've actually got him on my team. Been very disappointed. I think one of the games in his last three that have been poor, the forwards didn't really get a chance. So you can excuse one of those scores. And so he's not doing too bad. He's averaging 87.5 for the season so far. You'd expect him to probably average about 95 for the rest of the season. And as Mark has said, at his current price of just under 400,000, he's pretty good buy. My upgrade watch player would be Lee Montagna at 550k. Probably 1 week too late after his massive 159, but he still presents great value at 550k. He's got a break even of 91, so he's going to jump up even more this week. He's actually 120k cheaper from when he started at the start of the year, and he's averaging 116 from the season. I know a lot of people would have been disappointed with how he's going so far, but 116 average is actually pretty darn good, and I reckon he should easily average 120, if not 125, for the rest of the year. St Kilda have by far the best run home, and it's ludicrously cruisy. He's going to pick up lots of super coach points on the way to the final series. Jump on right now.
Yeah, I totally agree with that, Marcus. The big surprise for me was 38 possessions and 5 goals. How he did not score more than 158 surprises me a lot.
Yeah, my upgrade watch for this week is Mark Murphy from Carlton. I think he's Carlton will have a fairly easy run home as well. Am I right there, fellas?
Yep. A lot of games at the Telstra Dome as well.
Yeah, so I'd expect to see quite a few points from him. He's had two big weeks, 119 and 135 last week, and he's priced at only 515,000. I know in one of our earlier podcasts we were looking at who we think the top six midfielders would be. I think Murphy just missed out on that list. But even so, if he turns out to be the seventh highest averaging midfielder or something like that, at 515,000, that's a great price to pay for him.
Yeah. Juddy, I know, doesn't average too well at the Dome. And the last couple of games where Juddy's been a tad down and Murphy's been able to score a lot more points. I know Juddy did get a 142 last week, but Murphy's been doing a lot better in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, he's sort of like the last one of those cheap midfielders going through. We've seen Hayes and Del Santo and a few others really cheap, and they've all gone up now. Murphy seems to be the last one, although Bartel presents some value, just being a bit more inconsistent there. The last bargain that I wanted to look at was Alan Didak. He's not super cheap. He's at 491,000, but he did get up to about the 600,000 mark last year at different times. He has got those big games in him. I know that they're not coming as much from Collingwood this year, but Didak's been super consistent this year. I think if I was looking to upgrade to a forward that wasn't Pavlich, I'd probably be looking at Didak. Even at 491, the consistency that he's shown, his ability to get the points on the board, I don't like him as much as a player being an Essendon supporter, but as a super coach, I think he's a pretty good pick this year.
Like you've said, he's just so consistent, and that's bloody hard to find the forward line this year. I feel he's someone, if you're contending seriously, that you probably need to have in your forward line. So just not that many premiums, and his consistency and ability to hit the 100 is absolutely sublime this year. We'll move on to talking about moving to our discussion topics now. First up is Robbie Gray, who's been a huge disappointment, to say the least, for those that picked him up at the start of the year. He's currently priced at 450k and the break-even 115. He's missed 5 rounds now, and last week Mark Williams said he was unlikely to play the next couple of weeks, so expect him to still be out this and maybe even next week. I'd say it's kind of time to bring him out. He's averaging only 82 for the year. He's too quiet for most of the games. I know his big scores in 127 and 93 came from big quarters. He's just not reliable enough to carry such an injury-prone player. And I really feel it's time to get off him if you haven't already. 450k, you still can pick up a great player. Alan Didak, as we've just covered, costs only 40k more.
Yeah, I actually stupidly carried him into the start of the season this year. I really had huge raps on him. He just, in the preseason, he looked to be moving into the midfield, getting the contested footy around the clearances. He looked like he was going to be a Supercoach gun, but it just hasn't panned out that way, either score-wise, and he suffered from his injuries, which we knew that he did have a big propensity towards those injuries. So it was definitely a mistake to get him at the start. Don't be caught up in your mistakes. Just get him out if you've still got him and move on.
Yeah, and we spoke about him, people talking about him playing some more midfield time. Even if he when he does come back, I doubt that he will be playing any midfield time, at least in the immediate future, just with that fitness base will be a lot lower than the other players at the club.
And also Port Adelaide's forward line's probably struggling a fair bit.
We'll move on to talking about Jonathan Brown now, who's been a huge disappointment. I know a lot's been said about his sore abs, but if he's on the ground, I expect him to play better than he is now. If not, you should just bloody take himself off. He's looking all right in some patches, and then some patches of the game, he just looked really hampered by it. Last week, I think he kicked a goal from about 55 out, and he looked perfectly fine. And then you go see him run for a mark, and it just doesn't look right the next 5 minutes. So I really don't know what to do with this guy, except just to say, have to cop it, is a premium, just wait it out.
Yeah, considering he showed so much potential in the first three games of the year, his price actually got up to $597,000 and is now down to $409,000. Given these prices so low, there's just nothing you can do. You don't have enough trades to trade this guy out, so you've really just got to stick with him, much like Ryan O'Keefe, and just hope he works through his fitness, works through the game style things, and just comes out the other side. You just don't have enough trades, I don't think, to be trading out players like this.
Yeah, and especially given he's in the forward lines, just as likely with the inconsistency we've seen so far, that whoever you bring in will have this same slump in scores, and you'll be watching Brownie pump out some 140s again while you don't have him.
Next, we'll move on to looking at our top seven backs. I just wanted to do this topic because I feel a lot of the fringe in each Supercoach's top seven backs in their minds. Is fairly varied, so we're just going to go through it. I think easily the top five in my mind would be Goddard, Hodge, Gilbey, Malcheski, and Enright. Has anyone got any complaints about those being in the top five?
Considering I have all those five guys in my team, I have absolutely no complaints about that.
Yeah, I wish I had more of them. Obviously, Goddard and Hodge are that step above the other three, but yeah, they seem to be the five best backs in the league.
So if we're looking at the next two, who would you guys have as your next top two?
Look, at the moment, I just don't think you can go past Brian Lake. He's probably going to burst into that top five. He certainly is at the moment. He has had five scores over 100 in a row. He had a bit of a slow start to the season. He's had two scores over 170. He's now worth up to $615,000. Obviously too late to bring him in, but he's had such a brilliant start to the season. I just can't see him falling out of that top five, considering he's averaging already like
110 he is.
Yeah, 110 for the year. So
My next two would be, I'd pick my next two out of Gilbert, Hearn and Lake. As much as I wouldn't really like to put Lake in, just because he does have that, he does have low scores once in a while. I think you just have to on his recent form. I mean, his last five games have been ludicrous, 1,100, then those two 170s and a 120. So I think he just sneaks in at 6 or 7. And the other one that's been on absolute fire is Gilbert. Didn't seem to be affected by the case that he was supposedly involved in about with that teenage girl who pumped out 118 on the weekend. He's averaging 107 so far this year, and I'd probably have him as number 6 or 7.
Yeah, a lot of those points came in the last quarter there with Gilbert, so I'm a little bit wary what's going to be happening there. What about Dustin Fletcher? He's a potential, averaging 97. If he doesn't get suspended, every week he's down the bottom in the Dream Team points, but just seems to be churning him out. What did you think, Faz?
Yeah, he's got that really long kick that everyone knows, and it's... with Essendon looking a lot better this year, it's less likely that that'll be going to an opposition player. And yeah, so just that big boot out of the back line, it's great for Supercoach points. You know, only score you 4 in DT, but it'll get you a lot more in Supercoach.
Who else do you reckon will jump into that top 7 first?
Yeah, well, Shannon Hearn's one player that I have in my side. He's been a bit down in the last couple of weeks, but as with Fletcher, he just has an absolutely great kick. He's an absolute great kick of the football. One worry is that he just doesn't get as much of the football as some other players. I think early in the season he had a few games where he scored hundreds off only 15, 16 possessions. So we know he's a great user, but the last couple of weeks he's had a few clangers and that's really brought his score down. I think it's 2 weeks in a row actually that he's had a really bad first quarter and then turned around for the rest of the game. So if he can get those clangers out of his game, then I can see Hearn jumping up to being a real elite super coacher.
Yeah, he's definitely a trade-in target that I'm looking at as being part of that top 7. And except for the last 2 weeks, he's been super consistent of scoring 90-plus. So do we think Heath Shaw is part of that top 7?
I would have said he was, but just recently his form has been so bad, I find it hard to put him up there. If you asked me this question even a couple of weeks ago, I would have said yes. I just need to see two good games of form and I'd be back on him. Just need to see at least some substance of him turning his form around. Like I mentioned before, he does run the season home strongly, so he'd be pretty close. He presents great value at 410. So
yeah, he has one of the highest scoring ceilings of any players in Supercoach, especially in the back line. So that's one thing with Shaw. He does pull out some massive games like 140s, 150s. It's just a worry when he gets tagged out of games. He just seems to completely go missing. He can't get a reasonable score in one of those games.
The other player I'd be looking at is Chris Newman from Richmond. Obviously, you don't want to be trading in Richmond players because they have such poor play in general. But if you disregard his 16 from the start of the year, he's actually been doing all right. He's had 600s in there, averaging nearly 100 without that 16 at the start. So he's probably not the best pick at 470, but I wouldn't discount him from being in the top 7 backs for the year.
My biggest problem with Newman is he doesn't seem to be able to get the big scores. He has had 3 120s this year, which is very much different from what his history tells us. Newman normally gets between 90 and 110 when we're talking about him being a consistent Supercoach ton person. But this year, he's also got a lot of inconsistent scores. So he's had 16, 72, 60, and 61. So 4 below par scores. I just wouldn't feel comfortable with putting him in my top 7 because I reckon he'll either score between 90 and 110 or he'll pull out a poor score. So I don't think he's going to average even 95, in my opinion. All right, so we'll move on to our last discussion topic now, and that's Buddy suspension. Anyone want to rant?
Yeah, I do want to rant. I thought it was absolutely ridiculous that he got suspended. I mean, just watching him go in for that ball, I didn't think that he could do anything else with his body. I guess he could have gone for the tackle, but that's not protecting himself. I guess he has been warned, so there's not much you can do about it, but I thought it was a really, really light suspension. It sort of cuts down Buddy's play too much, and to be honest, I'm just probably just pissed off that he's in my team, and I've had to miss out on him now 2 weeks when he seems to be in pretty good form. And I just hope that he didn't get suspended for that sort of crap.
Yeah, this is the third game this season that he's missed due to suspension. And this third suspension kind of feels like they're just doing it to once again reinforce that they don't want him laying those bumps. I don't think he should have been suspended. And I know he would have contested it if there wasn't a second game on the line on the suspension, because that was not suspension worthy, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's a real shame as well, considering the form he's been in recently. The last 5 weeks have been pretty sensational, with last week being the worst of them with an 81. So hopefully he can keep that form going after the 1 week break that he's going to get.
I think take anything positive from this is that Franklin will probably completely avoid the knock right from now on, because 3 games missed in half a year of football, everyone's going to tell him to stop because it's not worth it at all.
The other positive thing to take from it is that Buddy will be well rested for the second half of the year. The bad thing that I'm seeing is Gumbleton has had 2 of his lowest 3 games when Buddy's been suspended. So I have to bring Gumbleton onto the field. He normally does crap when Buddy's suspended. I'm not really liking that.
Yeah, even more annoying is Hitchcock goes down too. same week that Franklin does, so it's a bit annoying. Anyway, that wraps up this week's show. Hope you guys enjoyed it. Hope you enjoyed Mark being back on board. We nearly missed him again with technical difficulties. So
sure did.
Maybe listen to it again because we don't know when he's going to be able to come back on.
Thanks for having me, guys.
All right. See ya. Enjoy Supercoach Week, guys.
I can't believe we got through it after all that fucking shit.